Dear Saints, what does the word bloodbath bring to mind? Perhaps you think of a terrible scene of bloodshed, something like a terrorist attack, maybe 9/11, or maybe something you've seen personally or witnessed in war or an accident of some kind. Our text for this evening speaks of another sort of bloodbath, one ordained by God, but for our good. During Lent, we have been meditating on Isaiah's portrait of Jesus Christ through the Song of the Suffering Servant. And our passage for this evening promises that Christ will sprinkle many nations. When the blood of Christ is sprinkled upon us, we are washed clean. We are bathed in God's forgiveness and coated in Christ's own righteousness. We are washed in the blood of God's sacrificial lamb. And in that sense, we experience a bloodbath of sorts. But what is this sprinkling of blood all about, anyway? To receive to our benefit the priceless blessings that Christ has promised us, especially in our Holy Supper, which we celebrate tonight, we must understand and believe what he tells us about this sacred outpouring of his blood. First, we should recall that in God's word, there are some severe consequences for our sin. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sins, it shall die. Original sin, which we inherited from Adam, makes us mortal. Our original and actual sins mean that we are worthy of nothing in God's sight except death and hell. Sin leads to death. And in biblical imagery, death involves the spilling of blood. Therefore, we may say that our sin results in an evil bloodbath. And in order for sin to be forgiven, God requires blood to be shed. As we read in Hebrews chapter 9, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. In the Old Testament, God prescribed a variety of animal sacrifices, as you're well aware, and God granted the penitent believers forgiveness of sins through those sacrifices. When certain animals were sacrificed and their blood shed, sins were forgiven. And note the innocence of these animals. Animals are not morally culpable creatures. Though they are affected by mankind's fall into sin, they are not themselves guilty of sin. And yet for human sin, they died. Sometimes enormous numbers of animals, with the outpouring of gallons and gallons of blood. For example, when King Solomon brought the ark into the temple of Jerusalem, he sacrificed, quote, so many sheep and cattle that they could not be counted or recorded. And later, when Solomon dedicates the temple, he sacrificed 22,000 cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. Now that's a bloodbath. But that bloodbath was in harmony with God's old covenant with his people Israel. It was for the forgiveness of their sins, which God dispensed from the tabernacle and then the temple. And Isaiah prophesies about Christ, he will sprinkle many nations. The Old Testament shows us a vivid and a concrete picture of what Christ was going to do for us. The sprinkling of blood was part of the Old Covenant. When God first established his covenant with Israel through Moses, he instructed Moses to sprinkle the blood of the sacrificed animals on the congregation. When the blood was sprinkled on the people, they entered into the covenant with God and became members of his covenant people. They were heirs. They were beneficiaries. They were receiving all the promises of God and his protection and his blessing and eternal life And as the blood was sprinkled on them, believing people received God's grace. But in Isaiah, the prophet looks beyond those Old Testament sacrifices and points forward to Jesus Christ. The prophet receives a vision of how Christ will sprinkle not only the people of Israel, but the people of many nations with his own blood. The Old Testament sacrifices were temporary. They were incomplete. They were a dim foreshadowing of what would be a far greater sprinkling, being sprinkled with the blood of the Lamb of God. Unlike the Old Testament priests, who are all sinful people just like you and I, Jesus is sinless. He is blameless. He is perfect. He had no need of a sacrifice to be made for himself, but he sacrificed only for our sakes. He is the eternal Son of God, and for this reason, his sacrifice counts infinitely more than the number of cattle and sheep and goats that even Solomon sacrificed. His death pays for the sins of the whole world, because his sacrifice was infinite and of universal value. Christ only had to make it once. It is the final sacrifice. His one sacrifice accomplished what the daily repetition of animal sacrifices year in and year out never quite reached: full pardon and full peace for every man, woman, and child. As the writer to the Hebrews puts it, in the blood of goats and bulls, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them for the cleansing of the body. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God? It will cleanse our conscience from dead works, so that we serve the living God. We are the ones from many nations who have been sprinkled with the blood of Christ. We are the ones Christ works in us new obedience and faith. And all this activity of Christ is God for us. It is Christ sprinkling his blood on us. How exactly do we receive that forgiveness? How is blood sprinkled on us? Well, in the Old Testament, it was obvious. You would actually feel and see the blood coming on you. The leaders of the people, after sprinkling the blood on the people, would eat and drink in God's presence and commune with him. We are washed with the blood of Christ through faith, and most especially in our baptisms, where Paul tells us we have died with Christ and put on new life. In those waters, we are adorned in white robes that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Of course, most clearly, we receive Christ's blood in the Lord's Supper, in which we actually receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, given to us to eat and to drink, given and shed on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Just as the Old Testament believers receive forgiveness when the blood was sprinkled on them, we receive forgiveness in the eating and drinking of Christ's body and blood. Through God's word and sacraments, the atoning blood of Christ is sprinkled on you. Not an evil bloodbath, but a forgiving one. People in our day and age may have a hard time accepting that. They have a hard time believing that that's what's really happening. Some may be skeptical that this actually occurs when we receive what appears to be merely bread and wine. Some may think that this talk about Christ's body and blood is just a figure of speech, symbolic, or maybe we're just playing make-believe. The people of the Old Testament had no doubt. No doubt whether the flesh and blood of animals was real. They saw with their own eyes real animals being sacrificed, and saw with their own eyes real blood being sprinkled. Holy Communion is in a way even more real, because the more perfect sacrifice has been made, The more perfect and complete forgiveness of sins is offered in this meal. The blood of Jesus Christ is given in a more complete and intimate way than being sprinkled with the blood of heifers and lambs. We do not trust subjective sensations of what we see or experience with our mouths and our eyes, for we have God's word, the sure word of God. This is my blood, shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. This is a most precious and holy bloodbath, for where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen.